Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're in our study on the book of Acts. So together we're going through the book of Acts together. And as I shared before, the book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospels. All right, so after the Gospels finished and Jesus was crucified, after he rose from the grave, well, he ascended into heaven and he sent forth his Holy Spirit to fill us so that we would do the works that Jesus did. All right, so this is why we have you pray for each other. Do you realize that you have the ability through the Holy Spirit and your faith in Jesus Christ to lay hands on sick that they might recover? Yeah, so we want to exercise these things. So we're walking through the book of Acts because this is exactly what the early disciples did, is that they went out and did the works that Jesus did, and the Bible says they turned the world upside down. You know, they made a huge impact on the world, and that's why we're here today, is because they carried out that great commission. So Acts chapter 2, I want us to read verses 1 through 4 together. You ready to get in the Word? All right, Acts chapter 2, I want us to read verses 1 through 4 out loud and together, and then we're going to jump down to verse 12 and read that out loud together, all right? So Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, let's read. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Turn to your neighbor and say, make room in the upper room. All right, now look at verse 12. Let's read this out loud. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking... Come on, we're there. Others mocking said, oh, I'm sorry, I blew it. So there's 12 and 13. That's my fault, Kayla. Do we have it up there? I didn't give her that verse. I made two mistakes today. First off, while we were singing, we had communion, and I came up and I didn't turn my mic off. Did you hear me? Okay. Whew. If you heard anything out of tune, it was me. It wasn't the team. And so, thank God, Kim came up and says, your mic's still on. I'm going, oh. All right, Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. All right, let's do this again, right? It's beginning in verse 12. Here we go. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13. Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't mock the move. Don't mock the move. So listen. This is my assignment today, all right? I'm going to try to get through all of this. I'm going to do the best I can. But my assignment is, first off, to identify the atmosphere in the upper room just prior to the overflowing or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many know we need to set the atmosphere? Yes. Yeah, so we want an outpouring of the Spirit, right? Yes. Now, we don't want to just go through the rhythms or go through the motions. We want a move of the Holy Spirit. So we want to identify, what did it look like in the atmosphere, in the upper room, just before the Lord poured out his promise. My second part of my assignment is I want to discuss with us the gift of tongues, and I want to talk to us about this prayer language or praying in the Spirit. All right, now listen, I want to talk about these things because they're in the Bible. I don't want to avoid these things because how many of you know it's important for us that we tap into all that the Lord has for us? Right, so this is why I'm saying don't mock the move. So my third assignment in our time today is I want to throw some caution our way that we don't mock something that God intends us to have. Yeah. All right, and so a lot of people don't talk about this or they sway away from it and because they don't know about the gift of tongues. I'm not going to do an extensive teaching on this, but when we get to that point, I want to bring it up and I want to talk to you about a prayer language as well. All right, we good on this? It's all in the Bible. All right, so Acts chapter 2, verse 1, let's kind of unwrap this a little bit. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, everyone say they. So the question is, who are they? The they are the 120 believers that were doing what Jesus commanded them to do. You know, they were sitting in an upper room in Jerusalem, and they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But they had no idea what that was going to be. You know, Jesus says he commanded them, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy, or wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And then he said, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Well, those 120 believers, they had no idea what to expect. They didn't know what this was. They didn't know what to look for. All they knew is they had to wait for it to happen, right? That's why they were there. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So this phrase, with one accord, the Greek word for that is homothumadon. And this is what it means. It means a group unanimity. All right, that's kind of a big word. It means they were unanimously united. All right, they were of mutual consent. They had this emotional rapport with each other. They were of one accord, like one chord. They were in perfect tune with each other. They were in harmony with one another. They had the same mind and the same purpose. They had the same goal, and their goal and their purpose was to wait for whatever this promise of the Father was, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say unity.
Unity.
Listen, when we're talking about creating an atmosphere and a culture that is going to be open to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, unity is essential. Listen, if you want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your marriage and in your family, unity at the top is important. Isn't that right? Unity is essential among believers because it sets the atmosphere for a genuine move of the Spirit. Look at Psalm 133 with me, verses 1 and 2. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. So listen, whenever we dwell together in unity, the oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit flows. Yeah, that's what we need, right? Yeah, so turn to your neighbor and say, don't stop the flow. This is why we forgive each other. This is why we deal with conflicts. Listen, this is why we have to walk in humility. Come on, are you hearing me, church? Listen, when I screw up, I need to ask you to forgive me. And you need to forgive me. And when you screw up, maybe that's a bad word in church, but anyway, it's a word. Everybody gets it. When you mess up, you know, when you blow it, and you ask me for forgiveness, I need to forgive you. But let me tell you, I need to forgive you before you even ask me. We need to walk in this state of forgiveness so we're not carrying resentment and we're not carrying bitterness around, church. Listen, this creates an atmosphere where the anointing of the Holy Spirit can flow. Amen? So deal with your conflicts and deal with them in a biblical way with the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, I'm not telling you to avoid conflict. I'm telling you to deal with conflict. Come on, are you hearing me, church? Man, at some point in time, we got to mature. At some point in time, we got to get to a point where we come to the person that hurt us and say, listen, man, this hurt me. I forgive you. But man, I want us to move on from here. Come on, are you hearing me? Listen, we have to do that in our families. Right? We can't put stuff under the rug and sweep stuff under the rug and expect for us to move forward in character. If Jesus says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, well, how did he love me? He loved me when I was all jacked up. Yeah, he didn't wait for me to get my life together. While I was still a sinner, he sent his son to die for me. That was his demonstration of love. He also says, I want you to forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Well, how has he forgiven me? How has he forgiven you? Well, we're to extend that forgiveness to others. And listen, this is what brings the unity. This is what brings a flow of the Holy Spirit. And it has to flow through humility. Amen? So look at this now. Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and suddenly, everyone say suddenly. So they were all with all together with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. So there was a sound from heaven, and then there appeared divided tongues as a fire. All right, so there was a sound, and then there was an appearance. All right, so the audio came before the visual. All right, I want you to hear this. It's important because it's an important step. That there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and then there was an appearance of tongues of fire. The audio came before the visual. Listen, the word of God always comes before the power of God is released. Yeah, listen, that's why I'm telling you that when we're here, we're in the word of God. We're bringing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we're not just telling you, hey, you got to be praying in tongues. No, you need to know what this means, right? And so even when we talk about laying hands on one another, we need to know this is what's in the Bible. This is what God, through Jesus, commissioned us to do, to go out and preach the gospel to all creation. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. That's us. Yeah, they'll cast out demons. They'll, you know, speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick. All of these things. And so the word of God always comes before the power of God is released. And this is all the way from the beginning. Remember Genesis chapter 1 in the creation story? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Right? And then God said, here comes the audio. Let there be light. Here comes the visual. And there was light. Yeah, the word of God always comes before the power is released. Always. That's the way it is. And listen, I want to share this with you again. I shared it last week, but you need to know the Holy Spirit is still hovering over lives today. Yes. Yeah, darkness is on the face of the deep. How many know we're living in a pretty dark world? Yes. Yeah, we're living in a pretty dark world. There's a lot of things going on, but I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is still hovering over empty places and dark spaces. Yes. Yes. Yeah, he's still there. He's still hovering and he's still working. And listen, when you declare the word of God to somebody, as God said, let there be light, and light was, the audio comes before the visual, the power of God, the word of God becomes before the power of God. When you walk up to somebody and you even say, listen, Jesus loves you, something happens. It releases power. Look what Psalm 119, 130 says. It says, the entrance of your words gives light. The entrance of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. So listen, when you share something of the word of God with somebody, it releases power, and you need to know that. Come on, we have what it takes to be able to make an impact in the realm of influence we live in. Amen? So look at this now. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. He was teaching in their synagogues. And he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. It was that order. He wasn't just going around healing people. Because the word of God always precedes the power of God being released. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen? All right, so what are we doing? We're creating an atmosphere where the supernatural power of God can flow, not just here, but when you go to work, when you go to school, you know, when you go home. We want this operating in your household. We want this operating in your school. We want this operating in your workplace. Come on. We need to be stepping up and living in the reality of a level higher than we're living in. Man, we're not down here on this earth with no hope and no help. Amen. So we're going through the book of Acts because the early disciples, man, they grabbed hold of this thing. And I'm telling you, we're here because they did it. Yes. Amen. Back to Acts chapter 2. So it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. And then there appeared tongues, divided tongues as a fire. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it doesn't say that they begin to speak with other tongues all at the same time. They may have, but it doesn't say that. It says that the Spirit gave them utterance, and they begin to speak in languages they didn't know as the Spirit gave them that utterance. And so a lot of times I think that it could have been like this, that they've been waiting for 10 days in complete unity. They were together. They knew what they were waiting for. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they were waiting. And part of me seems to think that maybe as the sound of the mighty rushing wind came in, and then there appeared to them tongues of divided fire, that all of a sudden maybe somebody just started speaking in this unknown tongue. And then maybe that triggered something in someone else, and then pretty soon you got 120 of them doing this. All right? So it doesn't really say that that all happened at once, but it happened. And so they were filled with the Spirit, and their mouths started speaking. They were filled with the Spirit, and their mouths started speaking. Listen, when you're full of something, you're going to overflow with whatever you're full of. So listen, when you're full of the Holy Spirit words come out. All right, so here in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was giving these 120 disciples the ability to utter words in a language they never learned. Yeah. Listen, how many of you know it's not just other tongues that shows evidence that a person has been filled with the Holy Spirit? How many of you know love should be pouring out of the mouth of a Spirit-filled believer? Yeah, how many of you know joy should be pouring out of the mouth of a Spirit-filled believer? How about words of peace? Yeah, how many of you think that gentleness and kindness should be pouring out of the mouth of a Spirit-filled believer? Yeah, man, all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, these words, the fruit of the Spirit in us should be coming out of our mouth. So listen, turn to your neighbor and say, watch what comes out of your mouth. Yeah, turn to them, say, tell them this, what you say matters. Yeah. So listen, I want to take some time now, and I want to briefly address this topic of other tongues, okay? And listen, I'll tell you why, because even when I talked about other tongues, I can feel it. We have those who are saying, yeah, and then we have some like, oh, man, we're going to go here, huh? Yeah. And so listen, this is what I want to tell you. Don't mock what you don't know. So what do we got to do? My responsibility is to bring some teaching so that you're not basing your opinion on this on a bad experience, but you'll have the Word of God to decide for yourself. Yeah? That's what we need to do. And that's my job. That's my job. So let me address this because, listen, while this mighty rushing wind in Acts chapter 2 and while these divided tongues that appeared in Acts chapter 2, listen, those are never mentioned again in the New Testament. But speaking in tongues is seen repeatedly. So it wasn't just this one-time thing for the apostles only. Because there's a teaching out there, oh, that was just for the early apostles. And by the way, let me tell you this. 120 of these people in the upper room, it was men and women. And there's a list in Acts chapter 1. We won't go there. But I want to tell you, in the list of some of the names that were there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Yeah, you can read it. In Acts chapter 1, you can say it has a list of everybody that was there. So listen, you need to know Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. I'm telling you, Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke with other tongues. Yeah. You know, and I'm not coming against anything. I'm just telling you, we just got to read the Bible for what it is. And so even though the mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire are never seen again or talked about again in the New Testament, but this speaking in tongues is seen repeatedly. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 44, what's happening here is that Peter is at Cornelius' house. So Cornelius is a Gentile. All right, so we've had the Jews and the Gentiles. So now what's happening in this transaction is that Peter is right now ministering to the Gentiles the gospel of Jesus Christ for the very first time. So now the Gentiles, that's you and me, that we're being involved in this this type of transaction. All right, and so Peter is speaking to the household of Cornelius, the Gentile, and his family. And before he even finishes his message, the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and they begin to speak with other tongues. Check it out. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 44. How many of you know the Bible's true? Look at this. Acts chapter 10, verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Faith comes by hearing. Look at this, verse 45. And those of the circumcision, these are the Jews, who believed were astonished as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How did they know that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out? Because of verse 46. Because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. While he was still speaking. Look at this now. Then Peter answered in verse 47. He says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So check it out. In this household of Cornelius, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in water. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, don't box God in. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants, right? They received the word, and while they received the word, man, it happened. And listen, I don't want to call this person out, but the person I'm talking about right now will know this, and she is in the room. I'm going to call you out, Marge Corbett. Listen, there was a time, I don't remember how many years ago, but I was preaching a message, and this Holy Spirit fell on Marge, and she got another tongue. Do you remember? It just happened. It happened like this. And I'm saying, well, why does the Lord allow that to happen? Just to let us know that this is, the Bible's true. Right. Amen? The Bible's true. Here's another one in Acts chapter 19. The Apostle Paul is led to go to the Ephesians and talk to the Ephesians about the knowledge of Christ. And this is where he laid hands on them, all right? And they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Let that never be us. Yeah, we have to make much of the Holy Spirit. We have to make much of the death of Jesus. We have to make much of the blood of Jesus. We have to make much of the resurrection of Jesus. And we need to make much of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 3, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who can come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 6, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. So you see, it's in the Bible, right? Listen, I know that tongues stirs up a lot of questions, but really all it means is languages or dialects. That's all it means. So I wanted to share something I was reading and studying for some of these things, and I came across this testimony, and it caught my eye because I don't know who this person is necessarily. It caught my eye because this testimony that I'm about to read to you happened where I grew up in as a kid in Lake Arrowhead, California. In the Southern California mountains. And so when I saw Lake Arrowhead, I'm going, oh. So listen to this. This is true. I'll never forget a meeting I attended at the Lake Arrowhead Hilton in California, where about 100 believers had gathered together for a time of waiting upon the Lord. Since hotel rules dictated that the bar remain open whenever the conference room was in use, the bartender stood in the back of the room polishing glasses while we studied, worshiped, and prayed. Toward the end of the meeting, a fellow stood up and gave a beautiful utterance in tongues. Because there was no interpretation, the brother overseeing the meeting wisely said, we thank the Lord for the utterance, but since there's no interpretation flowing here tonight, that will be the only public utterance of tongues. When the meeting concluded, the bartender approached us and with tears running down his cheeks said, I have to talk to that man who stood up and prayed. How does he know my tongue? I'm Iranian. And he worshiped the true and living God in perfect Farsi. Needless to say, that bartender got saved that night. Yeah. Listen, these things happen, you know. Listen, the reason that I want to talk about some of these things is because I think it's important that we don't close ourselves up to anything that the Lord might want to do. You understand? You know, I know we're going to do things in decency. You've been here long enough, many of you, to know we'll do things in decency and order. But I want to make sure that as we move forward, man, we're open to whatever however the Holy Spirit wants to move. Amen. And he's free to move in a lot of other ways, but I think this one, there's so much hesitation. There's so much like, oh, I need to know about it. So tongues is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know that? You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I think it's important. It shouldn't be frowned upon, it shouldn't be quenched, and it shouldn't be discarded. Come on, how many of you agree? Listen, why are we talking about this? Because we want to move forward together in unity. All right, now listen, I'm not forcing anything on you. I'm just giving a teaching, all right, to open up our minds. Look what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at this. Paul says this. Now listen, the Apostle Paul is the one who wrote most of the New Testament. You know, so I think he's a pretty, and plus, you know, he's in the Bible. I think he's pretty trustworthy. Look what he said. I wish none of you spoke with tongues. Come on, what did he say? Yeah. Look at this now. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless, one exception, indeed, that he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So listen, there is a gift of tongues of the Holy Spirit that can operate in a church setting, but that gift of tongues that operates in a church setting needs another gift operating with it, and that's the interpretation of tongues. These are both gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, so when we read that testimony earlier, someone had an utterance in tongues, no one interpreted, and so the leader said, you know what, there's no interpretation, we're not going to do that anymore because we don't have an interpreter in the house. That's wise. Are you hearing this? 1 Corinthians 14, 13, says, Paul says this, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19. He says, I thank my God. Listen to what he says. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Listen, the Apostle Paul was a tongue-speaking, tongue-praying man of God. Yeah. He's a patriarch. And let me say this. Let me tell you why the Apostle Paul is addressing this issue to the Corinthian church. Because the Corinthian church took it out of balance. It was out of order. And it was because they didn't have the love that they needed. That's why in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, though I speak with the tongue of men of angels. Listen, men and angels, right? Two different languages. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and do not have love, I'm just a clanging cymbal making a bunch of noise. So listen, every gift of the Holy Spirit is to edify the church. It's to build up and edify the church. So Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Yes, balanced, right? So listen, here's my point. As we move forward, is it okay that we're just talking like this? I think we need it, church. You know, and I'm telling you, walking through the book of Acts is a greater challenge than I thought when I said we're going to do it. Because there's so much in there. You know, and so my point of talking about this morning is I think that we need to be very careful that we're not too quick to shut down the gift of tongues operating in the church. You know, I mean, we don't have that happening on a regular basis here, so it would feel strange. But I think that we really need to remain open to all that the Holy Spirit has for us. Amen? Amen. So listen, I want to switch now because I want to talk about something else. Because praying in tongues that requires an interpretation, not everybody has that gift. All right, so not everybody is going to have that gift of speaking in an unknown tongue in a church setting that requires an interpretation. But I do want to say this. The Lord has made available to every believer a prayer language. It's called praying in the Spirit. It's about praying in a language that you've never learned. All right, so I want to talk about this because this is something that I think is very helpful. Look what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, 14 through 15. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because not everybody's going to have the gift of tongues with an interpretation, but there's something available to you. This is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14. He says, if I pray in a tongue, hear what he's saying? Pray in a tongue. My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And so the question is, why would I want to pray a prayer that my mind doesn't understand? And the answer for me is because God knows better than me. Yeah, my understanding's limited. Right? He knows all things. He sees all things. He understands all things, right? And so the Apostle Paul says, man, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with understanding. Two different things. All right, so listen, let me explain this, how this works. You know, I can pray for you with my understanding, right? In other words, I can go before the Lord and I can be praying for you and I can pray for you as much as I know about you. Do you understand? That's how I can pray that way, and I do. But man, there's something that happens, and I'm telling you, I do this. You pray as far as, I pray for you as far as I understand, and then I'll pause and I'll switch over to my prayer language, and this is private, and I'll begin to pray in the spirit because God knows more about you than me. And while I'm praying in this, my prayer language and praying in the spirit, man, God will drop some more wisdom in there, some more little details. Might be about provision, or it might be about something you're dealing with in your family that I would not have known, you know. But this is what it means to pray with in the spirit and pray with understanding, is that you're going a little bit beyond your own understanding, and you're saying, Lord, you know more than I. I want to come into agreement with you, Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who forever lives to make intercession for us. Yes. And you're interceding for these ones that I love and care about. You're interceding for these people that you've put on my heart to pray for. And I want to pray for them as far as my understanding will take me. But then I want to come into agreement with what you see. And I'm telling you, church, it's very, very powerful. And it's very, very important. And Paul says, not only do I do this, you know, pray with the spirit and also pray with the understanding. He says, I also will sing with the spirit and also sing with the understanding. Yeah, so in other words, Paul's singing things with his understanding, and then he'll start singing in an unknown tongue. Now, listen, maybe that seems weird to you, but man, I'm telling you, there's something that transpires when we just begin to just to go a little extra and say, Lord, I want to go a little extra, and I want to tap in to these things. And I want to tell you, and when I exercise this, this is where a lot of words of knowledge come from. You know, I might be praying over you, and man, I'll pray as far as my understanding comes, and then I'll pray in the spirit, and God will drop a word of knowledge in my spirit that he knows that I can share with you to edify and encourage you. Yes. Yeah? You freaked out about this? No. Yeah, I don't want you to be. Because praying in the spirit, it's an invaluable resource, church. It is. I mean, and this is available to every believer, but listen, this is why Satan will always mock it. Because Satan doesn't want you to pray on this level. All right, listen, almost everyone I've ever talked to, you know, that when they begin to pray in the spirit with words they've never learned, the enemy comes in right away and begins to say, that's fake. That's gibberish. You know, this is foolish. This is dumb. Almost every person I ever talked to that began to operate and begin to step out in this, that's what happens. And listen, this shouldn't be surprising to us that this would happen, because listen, in every area of spiritual life and spiritual development, God declares, Satan denies, and man decides. In every area. You know, think about in the Garden of Eden. God declared, you shall not eat of this tree or you shall surely die. Satan denied it. You're not going to die. Adam and Eve decided, and their spirits died that day. So in every area of spiritual development, when the Lord is saying, listen, I want to take you beyond where you're at. You know, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I want to take you higher than where you're at. And every time that we make a decision that we're going to do what God declares, Satan wants to squish it. Listen, Satan will always try to get you to stop what the Lord wants you to start. And he wants you to get you to stop before you even begin. You understand? Satan will always want you to bail out before your breakthrough. This is how he operates, right? He wants you to bail out before your breakthrough. He wants you to quit trying before you cross over into something new. Yeah, I'm telling you. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why we need to be talking about these things, so that we don't get shortchanged And we don't get the rug pulled out from under us because we're not willing to go the extra mile and step out into some things that we don't really know about. Yeah. Listen, if we knew about everything, we wouldn't need faith. Yeah. Is that true? Yeah. And so listen, this isn't anything that I'm forcing, but I want to bring you a teaching because, listen, it will help you. Yeah. It will help you. Satan wants you to panic before you realize the potential of the promise. Come on, are you hearing it? And so listen, I want to tell you that I was in my early 20s when I began to see that this praying in tongues was available to me. And I began to see in the Word of God that this was right, you know? Bible tells us, you know, you build up your faith when you pray in the Spirit. It's in there, so I really wanted it. You know, I begin to recognize that this is available to me, and I want to go to another level. And listen, this is the private use of praying in tongues. You don't know what I'm saying? I mean, it can happen in little groups and settings in the church and things like this. This is not praying or speaking in a tongue and getting an interpretation. This is a private prayer language that you can tap into. And so I was in my early 20s, and man, I wanted this, man. I knew it was available. And so I stepped out in it. I started stepping out in it in my private space. Nobody was around. I stepped out in it, and immediately, sure enough, there it is. Immediately, I'm being discouraged and challenged with my decision to step out in it. That's what Satan will do. Yeah, he's telling me, it's fake. It's fake. This ain't happening. So listen, I want to tell you, 37 years later, this is a wonderful part of my daily walk with Christ. 37 years later, I pray in my prayer language every day. You know, and it's a beautiful thing, man. I'll pray for you. I go on my walks, you know, but I call them prayer walks. Man, I might do 3 miles. And I'll pray with my understanding, and maybe I'll pray for the church, or I'll pray for you, or I'll pray for something that's going on. And I'll just be walking, so I'm getting some exercise. And I'm praying as far as my understanding will take me, and I'll keep walking, then I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray in my prayer language, and then I'll pray with understanding. Sometimes I'll walk 3 miles and pray. I'll pray all that way, back and forth, praying in the Spirit, praying with understanding, praying in the Spirit, praying with understanding. Let me ask you, how many of you have a prayer language? Okay, very good. Well, listen, I want to do a little exercise. Can we have a little bit of music in the back, just a little bit of soft music? I want to do an exercise, all right? And this is what we want to do. And listen, this is not making, it might make you feel uncomfortable because maybe it's something you've never done before. But this is what I want to do, okay? I want us all to just begin to thank the Lord in just a minute in your native tongue. I always do that. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so awesome. You're such a mighty God. I want us all to begin to do that in our own language, but you got to voice it. You got to voice it, okay? And then at some point in time, and you don't have to do it real loud, but make sure that something's coming out of your mouth in your native tongue, okay? And then at some point in time, I'm going to say switch. And when I say switch, I want everybody that has their prayer language to switch. Listen, you turn this on and off at your leisure. Listen, this isn't something where the Holy Spirit comes upon you supernaturally, slaps you on the back of the head, and a tongue comes out. Listen, this is something that is not supernatural per se. It's just something that, you know what, this is available to me, and I want to start praying at a deeper level. All right, so we'll have you praise and thank the Lord in your native tongue. I'll say switch. Those of you that pray in your prayer, have a prayer language, listen, we want to provide a covering for those that don't have it. Understood? So when we say switch, everybody has a prayer language, don't go. No, we don't want that. In fact, I want you to close your eyes. This is between you and the Lord. It's just an exercise, and then we're going to move on. Okay, so everybody in your native tongue, just begin to thank the Lord. Close your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Just worship him. See him on his throne high and lifted up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you. Switch. Ho katashia da 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 bo. Robo kotashanda da da ba ka. Switch. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for the promise of your Spirit. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Oh, switch. Oh, katashi adadabason. Oh, katashi adabason adabokoko. Hiadabashon adabason. Switch. Thank you, Father, that all your promises are yes and amen. Oh, thank you for the blessing of these people that you've given us the privilege to serve alongside. Thank you, Lord, for every person in here. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them, that your promises for them are yes and amen. And Lord, you're going to walk them through the things they got to walk through. You're going to be with them hand in hand. Switch. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So listen, practice that, all right, in your private time, in your devotion time. Pray with your understanding and just allow yourself to just step into that. And it might feel awkward at first, but you know, when you first learned how to speak as a baby, maybe your words were, mama. That language developed over time, all right? So listen, you guys okay with the teaching here? Yeah. I know that it may be different for some of you, but I'm telling you, in your private time, you ask the Lord to help you develop that prayer language because it will help you. And I'm telling you, things move when we pray that way. Amen? All right, now listen. Let's move on. You can shut that music down because I do have time to get to where I want to go. Because listen, this miracle of Pentecost, everybody good? We just the exercise? Listen, if I didn't give you an opportunity to do an exercise, you wouldn't know how to exercise it. Do you understand my heart behind this? Yeah, I'm not trying to, and I don't want you leaving here saying, man, I think I joined a cult. No, this is not that. I think you know our heart. We're looking at the Word of God. Everybody good? Yeah, so just take it home and exercise that, okay? So listen, the miracle of Pentecost that we're talking about, man, it happened to 120 people who were gathered in the upper room. And they, like I said, they didn't know what to expect. And so what happened is that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues. And I'm not going to go into all of the stuff that happened. We looked at this last week. But they began to speak with other tongues. 120 of them begin to speak in a language they never learned. Well, coming into Jerusalem, there was. It says in the Bible that there every nation under heaven was visiting Jerusalem during that time to celebrate Pentecost. So when these 120 believers begin to speak with other tongues they never learned, all of these other nations under heaven came and heard them speaking of the wonderful works of God in their own language. You guys remember that story? This is what happened. You know, and so come down to Acts chapter 2, verse 12. It says this. So when they heard this, it says, they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of no wine. So listen, whenever people start experiencing a move of the Holy Spirit, there's usually two responses. There's ones that say, man, what is this? What does this mean? Maybe that's what you were thinking now. And then there's others that say, they're drunk with new wine. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, don't mock the move. Don't mock the move. Now listen, I want to share this with us because it's really important. I want us to look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Because what's happening here is that David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the very presence of God, back into Jerusalem. All right? 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16 says, as the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Listen, say this with me. Say, don't despise what God sees holy. Now look at verse 20. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked and full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would do. And David said to Michael, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. He goes on to say, I will celebrate before the Lord. Verse 22, I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. Now look at verse 23. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. So it's as if the Lord said, Michal, because you have mocked this, because you have despised in your heart this, you're not going to have any more children. You're going to be barren. And so listen, as we move forward as a church, I want us to be very, very careful here at LWC that we don't allow the Michal in us to mock what God sees holy. Amen? Michal despised David in her heart, and she wound up barren. And listen, if we're not careful, the Michal in you and me will despise people who are moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And God's saying, don't mock the move. Don't mock the move. Come on, are you hearing this? Come on, can I pastor us? They're born-again believers with the mentality of Michal who mock the things of the Spirit. They call them demonic. You've heard that? Oh, tongues is demonic. Now listen to me. I'm not saying that these born-again believers don't love the Lord. I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm not saying that they're not born again. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying, there's a barrenness about them. There's a barrenness about them because they already have despised it in their heart. And I'm telling you, that's why I'm bringing the teaching, because we need to be open to what the Holy Spirit can do. And I'm telling you right now, I cannot do it on my own, and neither can you. And we need to tap into whatever the Holy Spirit has for us to tap into, especially in the last days. Because we can't do it in our own strength. And we can't do it in our own wisdom. And your past experiences isn't going to be enough. We need a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm telling you about this prayer language. This prayer language that comes. Man, this is where words of knowledge will come. Where you'll be able to get a word from God to help somebody and build somebody up. And even yourself. We build ourselves up in our most holy faith by doing this. So I want to encourage us to be careful. All right? As a body of believers, let's be careful that we don't too quickly despise something that we're not familiar with. Some of you are not familiar with this. Listen, I understand. Just don't despise it. Because listen, it's better to ask, what is this? Yeah, what is this? Than to say, they're drunk with new wine. It's better to ask the first question than to make a decision in your heart. Yeah, this is wrong. Something's wrong with this. Listen, LWC, I'm pastoring us and bringing us the teaching we need with a very gentle balance, not forcing anything, so that we can come together and realize this is a direction we want to move in. All right, now am I saying that we're going to come in here and everyone's going to be speaking in tongues? I'm not getting on a tongues kick. My main thing today is I want you to be open to that it could happen. And if I'm here, we'll make sure there's an interpretation. But really what I want you to go home with is the reality that there is a prayer language available to you that will really help you in your walk with God and in your daily devotions, okay? Look at Jude chapter 1 with me. I'm almost done here. Verses 17 through 21. You guys receiving something from this?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to go home with something?
Yes.
Yeah. You going to come back next week?
Yes.
You going to bring some friends?
Yes.
I don't know. You going to speak in tongues? Or? I'm just kidding. Jude chapter 1, look at verse 17, beginning in verse 17. It says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. We're talking about divisions in the church, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, here it is, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You see what he's saying? He said, there's mockers. They're sensual. They don't have the Spirit. But you, in these last days, build yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit. That it builds you up. Listen, have you ever been in a place where you're blindsided and you don't know? I don't know if you've been there. Where you kind of hit a wall and you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Have you ever rolled up on a situation and you don't know what to do? Yeah, you pray in the Spirit. And it doesn't have to be loud, man. It's like that. Man, I'll be holding hands across the desk with somebody, and I'll pray with them in understanding. And even under my breath, I'm praying in the Spirit, and God will drop a word of knowledge or something in there. It doesn't have to be loud, church. You know, when I'm out walking and no one's around, I get loud sometimes. You know, but I don't want people looking at me like, man, they walk like, whoa, who was that guy? So listen to what he says here. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The New Living Translation says, build yourself up praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Verse 21, look at this. Most of all, keep yourselves in love. Can we do that, church? Yes. Keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. How many here are thankful God's mercies are new every morning? Amen. Yeah. I'll share one more verse with you. And this is something personal. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write this. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I know your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. You have found them to be liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So I wanted to share this with you because it's personal to me. That I have felt in the last 3-4 weeks backslidden. Not in a moral way, but where's my passion? You know, where's the excitement I used to have? You know, and I think we all go through that. You know, I know that this is real, but I felt backslidden in some ways because I'm thinking, Lord, what is there something wrong with me? Because where's the passion I once had? You know, where's that fire I once had? And I just had to think about what I used to do when I had that. And that's why he says, remember. He's saying, remember what you were doing when you were closest to the Lord. I want you to do that. If you're feeling dry, or if you're feeling like, you know what, I'm just stagnant and stuck, man, I want you to take some time. This is what I'm doing. You know, I'm taking time to remember, man, where was I at and what was I doing when I was full of passion and fire? And then he says, repent. So you remember and you repent, you turn, you do a 180. And the next one is return. Return to the things that you were doing when you were fired up for the Lord. You know, maybe it's reading your Bible. You know, your Bible, not your device. You know, maybe it's, you know, journaling. Maybe you used to read and journal all the time. You know, my thing is what I've been doing recently in the last couple weeks or so. And hopefully I'm not scaring you. You know, I'm not like falling off anything. But I think it's important for us to be honest with each other that sometimes you get in a valley. And we need to know what to do in the valley. Yeah? And so one of the things that I've been doing, because I'm feeling tired, not tired that I want to quit, but just feeling, you know, you feel these things sometimes, or you don't feel anything. That's my problem. But, you know, you get in this place, and so what I've been doing, I'm saying, Lord, I really need a time of refreshing. And by the way, I'm going to let you know that my wife and I will be unplugging from May 13th to May 23rd to celebrate our 31st wedding anniversary. So, yeah. So we are going to unplug. We're going to unplug, and we're going to get refreshed. So anyway, this is what I'm doing. Listen, is it okay that I'm real with you? Yeah. So this is what I've been doing, and maybe this is something you can do. I've been very quick to be obedient to little things. You know, little things. You know, like the other morning, you know, I was up, I do my rhythm, you know, I get up, I'm reading the Bible, whatever. And right in the middle of that, I felt like the Lord said, and I don't know if it was the Lord or not, but it wasn't wrong. I just felt get on your knees. And so I got off the couch and I got on my knees. I used the ottoman for my elbows and I just kneeled before the Lord. Just little things. Little things. You know, the other day, Gail and I were in the living room. I said, man, it was raining outside. And I said, I feel like I want to go on a drive in the rain and have some time with the Lord. And I just went and did it. You know, the other night, 3 a.m, use the restroom, get up. Before I go back to bed, kneel at the foot of your bed. I just kneel, just quick. Little things like this. And listen, I want to tell you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, one of those times, the Holy Spirit's going to come and refresh me. He's going to meet me at that simple point of obedience. And one of the things that I've been doing, I feel like the Lord has been telling me to do, I want you to return to praying in your prayer language twice as much as you've been doing in the last month because it builds me up. Come on, church. Is this okay? Now, listen, you need to know I'm not going anywhere. You know, and I'm fine. You know, I don't know. I asked Pastor Jim, do you think anybody notices? You know, I don't know. I'm fine, and I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be concerned, but I think it's important that we recognize and monitor, where am I at spiritually? Yeah. You know, where am I at? How am I doing? I need to do a spiritual inventory. And I made a little joke. I told Pastor Jim, I said, sometimes I feel like I'm going through a spiritual midlife crisis. It's like, man, when you were 25, you were on the street, you know, bringing people to Jesus like crazy, and they're getting healed, and I'm going, where is that? Where is that? And, you know, I don't know. I'm in a different season right now. I really feel there's an anointing on my life to teach, and there's an anointing on my life to really care for people, and I really want to make sure that nothing gets in the way of those two things. Amen? Everybody good? All right. Well, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for our time together. I know it was personal. I know it was intimate. But also, Lord, I know that you brought us things that are going to be helpful to us. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for all the plans that you have for us for a future and a hope. And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you that we leave here today, Lord, with a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of challenge, but Lord, also an area for us to step into that will help us walk closer to you. So I thank you for this, and I praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. We love you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.